Wednesday, November 9th, and this is Geek Nights. It's anime night, but I'm at my parents' house because it's my mom's birthday and I'm getting a free dinner, so, see ya! Let's not do this.
What? Yeah, you're not here, are you?
Nope, I'm in Connecticut. It's
awesome.
My mom's birthday, and I'm at a restaurant eating.
Oh, great.
So, I didn't think he'd be in the news again.
Who, Laurence Olivier?
Jack Thompson. So, you know, he's doing that wrongful death case against Rockstar Games. I think it's the kid who killed the cops or something.
Yeah, and he's saying that the kid did it because of Grand Theft Auto.
Right, trained him to do it, whatever, right? So the suit is in Alabama. And basically, for the past week, Jack Thompson hasn't been actually doing the case. Well, it's been part of the case, but he's been defending his ethical conduct to the judge. And the judge actually considered a motion to disbar Jack Thompson in Alabama.
Well.
And he even considered that he would throw the case out. So Jack Thompson said, well, to save the case, I'm going to quit the case and some other lawyer can do it. Really? That doesn't help the case at all. Well, I guess it does help the case because Jack Thompson's not on it. But it's mostly to save face. But he's saying, oh, it's for the case.
Yeah, as opposed to, oh, I'm a crazy fuck and people called me on it this time.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be winning any cases ever again. Unless he, you know, does some real law.
Yeah. Except the only thing he really has going now is this video game thing.
Well, because he used to be all about movies and comics and all, you know, anything that was bad for kids. But lately, he just concentrates on the video games because he has this idea that they're somehow different, you know?
I don't think he realized what kind of hornet's nest he was provoking when he went after video games.
Yeah, you know, but I can kind of see where he's coming from sometimes because he says stuff like, oh, those video game guys from, you know, Hollywood, they're all paying off the government. And we're always complaining, like, oh, those record company guys, they're all paying off the government. So he feels the same way we feel, but he's just wrong in this case.
Yeah.
Even though those things may or may not be happening.
Yeah. I don't see it happening so much, because it's not like the government tries to regulate video games so often.
No, it doesn't, but that's the thing, is like, he's saying that the only reason they're not regulating video games is because the video game companies are making mad money.
You know, not because there's more important issues like drugs or, I don't know, terror, wars, budgets, welfare, disease, poverty, gerrymandering, every real problem in the world that isn't a video game.
Yeah, I don't know. I never liked that there's a worse thing argument. You know, because there really isn't that much worse than Jack Thompson.
Jack Thompson. So, remember the other day when those pirates attacked that cruise ship? It turned into Geek, because apparently the news is reporting now that part of the reason they got away is because they used this LRAD, or long-range acoustic device, to scare the pirates off.
Why do they have one?
Actually because there's a law, an international treaty, stating that you can't have heavy weapons on ships at sea, unless they're warships. So a cruise ship can't have, like, an anti-aircraft gun there to mow down anyone. It can't have a reason in case some pirates come. So, they can't have real weapons. They gotta have fake weapons. So they have these non-lethal things that don't count as weapons, like LRAD.
Oh, all right.
And it's just this device.
Like, doesn't the crew have, like, you know, handheld weapons or something?
Those aren't so useful against pirates.
Not like, you know, pistol, machine gun, something?
Well, they can't really have machine guns. Some of them do, but they don't really help because the pirates stay way back and shoot rocket-propelled grenades at you.
Ah, yeah.
Apparently, all these devices do is they're big disc-looking things, and they point them at someone, and when they hit the button, it directs a very focused beam of sound. Like, you could be standing next to this thing in front of it, and you won't hear a thing. Walk in front of it, it'll knock you unconscious and do permanent hearing damage.
Great. Is there a warning sign?
I don't know. Actually, the military's been using them in Baghdad to control rioters.
Yeah, I heard something about that. Does it work?
It works real well. It causes people to fall over and scream in horrible pain and vomit. It supposedly sounds like a smoke alarm, and it'll be about up to 150 decibels in your ear.
Ow.
Yeah, that's more than the space shuttle launching at some distance.
Ow.
Yeah.
I heard a thing on NPR about these a while back, but they were talking about them shortly after the hurricanes in Louisiana, and I think they were demoing them like just outside, or they were using them there to get looters and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But the one specific one they talked about was slightly different, because what they were doing is they were shooting it really far. They're talking like miles away, even, you know, if not like thousands of feet.
Yeah.
And they weren't sending noise to knock you out, even though they could. They were sending like messages. So like if you what they were talking about was like if a guy's on a roof, you could be in the helicopter and you could pretty much shoot a laser of sound at him saying, you know, we're coming to get you. And it would sound like you were right next to him talking. So no one has to yell. No one has to use a megaphone.
I think it's similar because this one, it says the effective range of damaging or stopping people is about 500 meters. I imagine you can still hear it beyond that. It just doesn't hurt you.
Yeah. They were talking about, you know, let's say, you know, there's someone way out and you're an army. You could be like, you know, halt, who goes there and such. And, you know, you would be able to give them fair warning and all the...
Or you could pull some wicked pranks on people.
You could totally pull some wicked pranks. We should get one.
I wonder how it would be to make one.
I don't know if it's a makeable thing.
Well, everything's makeable. It's just a matter of our resources.
I don't think Radio Shack's got enough.
Nah. Yeah, apparently they've used these things in Baghdad. They used them in New York City during the 2004 Republican National Convention.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
I think they just demoed them.
Oh. Yeah, it seems like they've done a lot of demos in dangerous situations, but the actual use hasn't been prominent enough for people to make a big thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, on one hand, it's a good idea because non-lethal is always good. It doesn't kill people. You always give someone a second chance. But on the other hand, I think law enforcement will be more readily predisposed to using things like this if they know that it won't kill anyone.
Well, that's always the story with any sort of non-lethal weapon. I mean, yeah. Just today I read a story about these less dangerous cigarettes, right? And the one smart guy who commented on it was like, no, even if they're a zillion times safer, which I guess they kind of were, they have like these new filters that only let nicotine through and stuff, right? He's like, back in the 70s when they added filters and stuff and they took out all the tar, people just started smoking more and taking longer drags, and it didn't actually make it any safer, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, if you make stuff less potent, people do it more, and it's always the same potency. So if you have a non-lethal, you know, sound gun, they'll be more apt to use it, and they'll use it like 10 times on the same guy, and then he'll die.
Like we've seen with tasers lately.
Oh.
Every day in the news, someone gets tasered, like a little girl or an old lady or a dog. Though actually, with tasers now, there's two cool things that have come out. New tasers that the police use take a picture when you fire them that can't be removed of what you're firing at. So if you just taser someone 10 times, there's going to be a picture of the guy on the ground obviously unconscious as you're about to taser him again.
Oh, so it'll store all the pictures?
Yes.
Ooh.
There's another one.
Can you cover the picture with, like, your finger or something?
I don't think they're allowed to. They'd be kind of suspect if you tasered a guy 5 times and magically the last 3 pictures your finger was in the way.
Ah.
And the other thing, to protect civilians from, like, because a lot of muggers apparently use these things to get someone to just take their wallet. They've got some that have these thousands of tiny pieces of confetti with serial numbers on them. And when you fire it, it shoots the taser, and it just pops these things out with a CO2 cartridge everywhere.
So then if the police come, they find the serial number, they find out who you were,
they can at
got
least
it
track
from.
Where the taser came from.
It's pretty good. I know they have bullets that do that.
They're trying. There's been an effort for the last couple decades to have some sort of registry of fingerprinted bullets.
Well, I mean, they can do it with, what do they call it? With where they match the bullet by, you know, because the bullets from the same gun are all ballistics.
Yep, ballistic forensics.
How come I didn't think about that word? It's such a, I knew it was a B. But, you know, they should just put a serial number on every bullet and
well,
know where
it was.
Well,
then all I have to do is file it off my bullet.
Put it in the bullet.
Where in the bullet?
On the back. See, there's the bullet.
Wait, you mean in the shell casing that I'll take with me?
No. There's the bullet, and there's the shell casing, and then there's a gunpowder.
So you want to put it on the bullet.
Put it on the bottom of the bullet that's covered by the shell.
The only problem with that is that bullets get really, really deformed when they hit you.
They do, but the back of it, you see, the part that's, you know, that I guess the explosion of gunpowder might take it off. It's a tough one.
Yeah, people are working on it. But the taser one, it's a nice, very practical, very elegant solution to a real problem.
Yep, very good.
I'm very happy whenever people use science instead of legislation to solve something.
Mm-hmm.
Though there is one other cool thing about these LRADs. Apparently, there are a lot of non-weapon uses. They're starting to use them in concerts and in stadiums to project sound to people who are far away without having to have it so loud that it kills people in the front.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what else at the concerts what they could do is, you know how you'll be at a show and like the guy who's doing the show will try to talk to someone in the audience specific and they won't hear him or vice versa?
Yeah.
You could just go around with like a microphone and an LRAD, right? And the person on stage could like point the LRAD at a person in the audience and be like, hey, you, something, 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 you know?
Ah.
And then that person could be like, something, something, you know? That could be pretty cool. Get a whole new level of interaction going on.
Yeah, I'd like to see the next 5 years as this technology gets developed.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be cheaper so like people can buy them and use them.
And play horrible pranks.
Play horrible pranks is good. You know, you can call for pizza with it.
Well, Blockbuster Video isn't doing so well. They've lost millions and millions, 500 million in the last couple months, and they're probably going to go bankrupt because it looks like all their investors and all their lenders are starting to recall all their loans.
Blockbuster had $500 million?
Blockbuster makes approximately $4.33 billion a year.
Wow.
Apparently the entire rental industry is collapsing. I wonder why. Internet, Netflix, TiVo. But Blockbuster is collapsing slower.
On demand.
On demand. But Blockbuster is doing the best of all of them. It's only collapsing half as fast as everyone else. But the thing is, they're not blaming Netflix. They're not blaming the internet.
What?
No. I don't think they have any idea why they're losing their business. They're talking about how the revenues are only down because they got rid of their late fees. And they're blaming, like, the economy's kind of down, so people aren't renting videos like they used to.
What?
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me.
They just have no idea.
This reminds me back in the day, like, in the dot-com boom, like, in, like, 90, I guess, 97, 98.
Yeah.
There was a guy, and it was in the Silicon Alley, which is, you know, the Silicon Valley in New York, whatever, kind of trade magazine, right? And this is the most dot-com boom you could get. I mean, this magazine was this free thing I got because I lied about being an industry insider. And there was this article about which companies are doing good on the internet and which companies are doing bad, right? And they talked about all these companies doing great things, like, oh, look at the website for this company. You can do all these innovative stuff. And then the number one worst company was Blockbuster. Because Blockbuster, they were like, look at what Blockbuster could be doing on the internet. Oh my God, searching for videos, checking which videos are in stock and which stores, checking your late fees, getting registrations. Oh my God, finding store locations. And in those days, the Blockbuster website was pretty much like this static page with company info. And
they had a website back then?
Barely. And that was what the guy was saying, is that Blockbuster was just so behind the times, you know, internet-wise. And I guess it hasn't changed. They haven't fired their... It's like, oh, I can't understand.
Yeah, even the article is like, Blockbuster is facing tough competition from Netflix, blah, 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 Walmart, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, Walmart with their cheap DVD sales.
Yeah, they're real cheap DVDs.
But they're very poor selection.
Yes.
Wow.
But Blockbuster's even trying to spin this in a good light. They're saying things like, this just means we're consolidating. The market's consolidating, and we're gaining market share because all the mom-and-pops are going out of business, and the only ones left are Blockbusters.
They put the mom-and-pops out of business 15, 20 years ago.
No, there's still some mom-and-pops about.
There's still some, but those are usually like video barns that carry stuff that Blockbuster won't carry.
And some areas in the Midwest, Mammoth Video is still around.
I never heard of that.
Mammoth Video was... I had never heard of Blockbuster when I was a little kid. We had Mammoth Video, and there were a bunch of them all over Detroit.
There's Hollywood Video.
Yeah, they have, like, they've been around. Yeah. They're still around, but they're not doing so well.
No, not doing well at all, but... In my town, it was like there weren't any chain video stores yet. There was just this one video place. It was kind of small. But they had, you know, all the major movies, and that was it. You know, and people would go there. And it was like some people would do it and some people wouldn't. Kind of like today, some people have TiVo, some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you were either in on renting or you weren't.
God, I remember going where there were only two stores. One had Beta and one had VHS.
Oh, wow. We didn't have a Beta store.
Yeah.
But then this Blockbuster opened, and it was a little far away from the house, like 15 minutes away. But it was huge. And we remember we went to the grand opening. It was one of the first Blockbusters. And everyone got a Blockbuster membership. Absolutely everyone. And then they started opening up everywhere. But then as soon as more of them opened, they became a lot less spectacular and people didn't care about them as much. And we started renting less. You know, you didn't, you know. When the NES kind of went away, you know.
God, I rented more NES games from Blockbusters than I did movies and anything else.
Yeah, game renting kind of went away because, you know, no one wanted to rent really Sega Genesis SNES games so much.
And then when the PS1 came out, people started copying those.
Yeah, we all rent. I remember PS1. We go, we rent, we burn, we go back. We rent, we burn, we go back.
Plus, I don't know what it is with the plebeians out there who rent videos, but how come every DVD in Blockbuster was scratched to hell? What do they do?
Well, it's because people just don't know that a DVD is a scratchable thing. So you can't make something that's...
How can you not know that?
And the other thing is that they don't know how it works. They don't know that the laser that actually looks at the disc, and if it's scratched, yeah, it'll see it differently.
But think, cartridges, and like a cartridge would last forever. So you could rent cartridges to people just fine. PS1 discs, rent it to 5 fanboys, and it's done.
The other thing is, though, is that people want it to be that way. Not people, but the record companies and the movie companies. That way, if you scratch it, you say, my DVD stopped working. 9 out of 10 idiots go and buy it again.
Yeah.
Or they'll buy a special edition.
Where someone other than Han Solo shoots first?
God damn.
Yeah, for posterity, you know what? Han Solo shot first. I don't care what you see. I don't care what back into the Han Solo shot first.
And not only did he shoot first, Greedo, I don't think he shot at all.
No, Greedo wasn't even gonna shoot. He just had his gun out.
Yeah, to be all menacing.
Well, moving on to the main bit, it's anime night, and since I've run out of previously recorded clips involving Scott, I'm going to have to do the rest of the show on my own, since, as you are well aware, him and his wonderful banter aren't here to help me. Thus, sadly, there's only one thing of the day today. And my thing of the day is fairly cool. It's not anything particularly new. I'm sure people have seen it before, but for anyone who hasn't, I stumbled across a small archive of LEGO figures. But not just any LEGO figures. These are LEGO representations of Cthulhu himself. Now, there's not much more I can actually really say about them, considering that Cthulhu is one of those formless, indescribable terrors that cause nothing but insanity in all who see them. But if you're interested, check out the link. But anyway, regarding anime, I haven't started watching anything new, though I'm still watching Mushishi, which, as far as I'm concerned, is really the best show out there currently. But we just got a DVD 1 of Big O in the house again. And it's old, it's campy, it's over the top, but you know what? I love it. And for any of you who haven't seen Big O, it's probably one of the stupidest sounding shows you will ever hear about. There's a big robot called Big O, and it fights other big robots. And there's lots and lots of collateral damage. That's really it. But it's a great show. I mean, the best thing about it wasn't so much the show itself, but the context of watching it. Because when I first saw it, I saw it with a crowd of people at an anime club. And if this show is anything, it's a crowd pleaser. Now, I've seen the whole show before already, and the only reason I'm watching it again is because it's been a while, and I actually never saw the sequel, Big O 2, and neither has Scott. So we're going to watch all of Big O 1, because, face it, it's an awesome show. It's giant robots punching other giant robots in the face. And then we're going to watch Big O 2, which everyone we've known who's seen it said is really good, but we just never got around to watching it. And I got to say, as much as I complain about being out of college, one of the big benefits of being out here in the working world is that I actually have a chance to just sit down and watch all that anime I missed while I was too busy running anime clubs back in the day. And actually, even better than the anime itself, now I actually have enough money, you know, since I have a job, to afford to go to events like Otakon or Anime Central without having to rely on the sympathy of others for basic necessities like food. Now, I've been watching anime for a long time, and I've been going to anime conventions for a long time. And I figured, since Scott's not here and I like the sound of my own voice, I'll just kind of give you guys a background as to how I got into this thing and why I love it so much, and why to this day I'm still very deeply immersed in the subculture that is anime. So the year was, well, I actually don't know what year it was, but I was in fourth grade, back when I was still living in Detroit, and I happened to catch Vampire Hunter D on the Sci-Fi Channel. And at the time, I wasn't really sure what it was. All I knew was that I liked it, and I wanted to see more. And the Sci-Fi Channel, luckily, obliged me. Right after that, they showed Robot Carnival, and then Dominion Tank Police, and then Project Aiko, and then Kashan Robot Hunter, and then, like, three or four other shows. Now, I should probably note at this time that Kashan Robot Hunter is one of the worst anime ever, so don't even think about watching it. If you've never heard of it, the world has done you a favor. So as the years went on, I picked up and started watching all the anime I could find, and I saw almost all the anime I could get as a result. I remember watching Escaflowne as it came out. Every month we'd buy the next VHS tape, watch it, and then furiously wait for the next one. Now, at this point, I really liked anime. In fact, I loved it. But I had no idea that there was actually this sort of subculture connected to it. I didn't know about fan subbers. I didn't know about conventions. I had no idea. I didn't know that there was anything to it other than watching this anime. Then I got to RIT. And I walked into the RIT Anime Club's first yearly recruitment meeting, and I saw this auditorium absolutely filled with geeks. It was then that I knew that I was home. So I made a bunch of friends in the club, and then not too long after, I went to my first anime convention, which was actually OhioCon. It wasn't the greatest convention. In fact, it was pretty piss poor. I've heard that OhioCon is much better now, but back then, let me tell you, they didn't check badges. There wasn't much going on. There were prostitutes at the hotel. That's a story for another time, but they were there. OhioCon did have one cool thing going for it, though. They had an old-school, original NES Duck Hunt tournament. And they're having trouble getting people to sign up. But me and my Scott and a bunch of other people we knew were all in the room, and they all told us, hey, join the tournament. You don't even have to pay. Just join, because they needed bodies. So whatever. And they have the Duck Hunt card for the gun as fully extended as it can be in this tiny little TV. And the first guy goes up, and he misses a bunch of ducks. And then the next guy goes up, and he misses a bunch of ducks. And we're thinking to ourselves, uh-oh, this may be hard. I mean, I have the Duck Hunt skills, but maybe the maximum distance factor is making it too difficult. So then I get up there, and I hit every duck. And then Scott goes up, and he also hits every duck. And then our friend Katsu goes up, and he hits every duck. So people are getting eliminated, and eventually it comes to the point that there is no way to eliminate any of us with ducks, because we hit every duck no matter what, we hit every skeet no matter what. There's just, it's going to go on forever until one of us passes out. So they decide to, in the spirit of old school, have the final championship be determined by the original Mario Brothers. So, Scott and I sit down, and we're fighting for first and second place, and we started going at it, and they didn't really tell us what the objective was. So we're playing, and I turn to the guy who's running it, and I ask him, so, what do we have to do? He says, whoever gets the most points wins. So then I asked, can I kill Scott's guy? And the guy responds, if you kill him, he can't get any more points now, can he? And I immediately pushed Scott into a green fireball, and I won first place. Scott won second place, Katsu won third place. And that is the only good story I have out of OhioCon, other than the prostitutes. So OhioCon was okay, but it wasn't great. Then we discovered Otakon. And I cannot express to you, unless you have been there, the sheer magnitude of the geekery that goes on at Otakon. I mean, it's an anime convention, but every aspect of geekery is represented there in quantity. In fact, we've been to every Otakon since that first one we went to, and we plan to go to every Otakon pretty much until we die. So, I mean, I still watch anime, and I love anime, but, like, when I go to these conventions, like Otakon, I don't watch a single frame of anime while I'm there. I don't even really go to many panels. I pretty much just go to hang out with all the cool people I've met as a result of anime. And that's really the main reason why anime is still such a big part of my life. It's not the anime itself, because I could just watch that alone in my house if I really wanted. It's that community of a lot of people who like this very geeky thing and like it together and have a sort of shared culture. I mean, I share more culturally with all the people at Otakon than I do with the people who actually live next door to me. Now, I don't have much more to really say on this topic without some sort of witty, interactive banter with Scott. So I guess I'll leave you with my Grimm's top 10 anime that I really like. Which is actually hard to do because I guess I separate anime I like from anime that I think are good. I mean, if someone asked me to name the top 5 anime, or the 5 anime I think are the best, hands down it would be Cowboy Bebop, Evangelion, Escaflowne, Trigun, and Fullmetal Alchemist, with nods to things like Lain. And a lot of people tend to agree on that point. A lot of people disagree about the order, but a lot of people agree that those are very, very good shows. But if you ask me what my favorite anime are, they would be Irresponsible Captain Tyler and Shoujo Kakumei Utena, which I won't pretend that they're the best shows in the world, but I like them. Now, to get a little bit meta, it's interesting because I've never actually tried to do this sort of podcast thing by myself, and I didn't realize how difficult it is to just sit in front of a microphone with no audience, no feedback whatsoever, absolutely no idea of how what I'm saying sounds or how interesting it actually is, and to just sit here and rant for a while. I mean, I love the sound of my own voice, but I only love the sound of my own voice when I know that other people are listening to it. And while I know people are listening to this now, I can't see you now. I can't see you roll your eyes, so I'll realize that a joke I made is bad. Or I can't see Scott doing his Scott things. And it's actually really hard to do this by myself. And I remember Scott said a while ago, when he tried to do something like this a long time ago, that he had a similar problem. And now I see where he was coming from. It's hard to do a monologue without any feedback. So, in the interest of saving all of you from my wonderful, melodious voice, I'll just roll into some more clips that I have handy with Scott, and I'll call it a day.
Digital. Mm. We should record in 5.1 just for the fuck of it.
I was thinking of switching to recording joint stereo and put you a little bit to the right and me a little bit to the left.
That works. Or vice versa.
Yeah, we'll do something like that. Because it makes it nicer to listen to, even though people usually can't figure out why it sounds nicer. They're like, hey, it sounds better. I don't know why.
Yeah, a lot of people have the joint stereo podcasts. Especially ones with music.
Well, now that we're using Resound, which works, as opposed to Audacity, which doesn't work as well.
Yep.
But the only meta we really have is that we need feedback about the show.
Yeah, I know there are some people listening, and I know a lot of them are people who know us anyway.
And no offense, but all anyone tells us is either, yeah, you guys are hilarious, or yeah, keep it up, or yeah, I listen. But no one says, like, oh, but this needs work, or...
Yeah, so right now, basically what we're doing is we're going on our own instincts and trying to change the show based on what we think is good and what we think is bad, but who are we to judge something that, you know, isn't for us?
Yep. I mean, we changed it a lot today. You might have noticed that we tried to do a better job of explaining what we're talking about before we talk about it.
Yeah, and we did a better job of not, you know, rambling off in different topics that aren't related. And,
yep.
And things like that, you know, and sticking to the game plan.
Yeah, we actually did some pre-production.
Yeah, and knowing the facts of what we're talking about so we don't go, oh, yeah, well, what? I don't know. I didn't read it, though.
You know? Which we were both guilty of.
Yeah, but besides the obvious stuff, you know, we want to know what people want to hear, what's the good parts, what's the bad parts. You know, what we really need is an idea of what to do on Monday.
Yeah, because we've tried a bunch of ideas, and we've got Tuesdays and Wednesdays down. We're golden on Tuesday and Wednesday. I could talk about video games for, like, 2 days straight.
Yeah, but, you know, we've got... You know, the three major geekeries can be pretty much separated into RWAG, Anime Club, and EGS.
Yeah, the clubs when we were in RIT.
We've got Anime Club and EGS, but the RWAG gaming type stuff, which we're into, but there's not really enough of it that you can talk a whole lot about D&D and board games and stuff.
What D&D news is there? What happens in D&D? I never even seen third 3.5 edition.
I mean, it's like a book comes out.
And
something happens in a campaign world. These aren't, you know, we like D&D, but these aren't things that we can talk about weekly for like 20, 30, 40 minutes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we could talk about old campaigns. We could talk about games we're playing now if we had more people and we were actually playing them.
Yeah, but we're not so much.
Yeah. So we need something to fill the Mondays, and then, of course, we fill the Thursdays with whatever the heck we want, craziness.
Yep. We're thinking of trying to make Thursdays for a while once we get going, interview days, mm-hmm. where we pick someone and interview them.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we need to set up some sort of interviewing technology, and we need to find people to interview. So I guess if you're out there and you are someone who is interesting to interview, you can get in contact with us. Maybe we can, you know.
Yeah, we're thinking of setting up the Skype or some TeamSpeak.
Even though I don't trust the Skype with their spyware.
Yeah. Of course, one thing, anyone who lives near us, we can just do an interview.
Yeah, we might, if you live like a half hour away or closer or something, we might come out to see you or something.
Yeah, bring our little mixer. Because we're always looking for fun things to do like that.
Yeah, definitely looking for people in the area anyway, but.
Maybe we'll head out to Rochester and do the old alma mater.
Yeah. But basically what it comes down to is if you're listening to this and we don't know you already and you don't know us, go to our forum on frontrowcrew.com, email us, geeknights@gmail.com.
Yep. If you're a hacker and you find our cell phone numbers, call us.
Call us. We don't care. Do something. You know, get in contact with us. Tell us what's good about the show, what's bad about the show, if you like the show, how you found us, anything. You know, we need stuff. If we get enough...
It's just an echo chamber right now. We got nothing.
Yeah. If we get enough feedback, we can probably turn Monday into a feedback show.
Yeah.
You know, but
or if you have an idea for a thing to do on Mondays that isn't sci-tech, because we've tried that, it's hard to do.
You know, if we get people, we can make Monday the request show. Like, hey, guys, talk about this.
Yeah.
And then we talk about it.
We thought about doing old school nights, but that doesn't work because we just do that whenever we talk about anime and video games anyway.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, let's talk about old school. All right, what are we going to talk about? Old school video games.
Woo! Magic the Gathering.
Oh, yeah. Great. Because I could talk about that for just days and days and days. We could turn it into like rant day, but then it's really Thursday anyways.
So yeah, you don't really grind my gears.
When I can't find the droids I'm looking for.
Maybe we could do TV, Simpsons. We'll think of something. Tell us what we should do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Visit our website also.
Yeah, post in the forums.
Yeah, there's no one really posting the forums yet. You could be the first. Well, not technically they're not the first.
You could be the first person we don't already know.
Yeah, people we don't already know who are listening. We know you're there.
Yeah, plus if you like the show, we wouldn't mind getting to know you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not super popular yet. Might be one day we will be, and you could be totally on the in crew. You'd be like, I was listening to them since their, you know, third podcast, and, you know, I knew them and hung out with them at conventions, and yeah. And meanwhile, we have like 1,000 screaming fans, and, you know, we'll actually know who you are, and we won't know who they are. Yeah.
Either that or, you know, 700 episodes from now, we still have 30 listeners, and we cry ourselves to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Little column A, little column B. We'll see how it goes. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.